Penguin Random House presents The Song of the Cell, an exploration of medicine and the new human. Written by Siddharth Mukherjee. Read by Abhishek Sharma. Also by Siddharth Mukherjee. The Gene, an Intimate History. The Emperor of All Maladies, a Biography of Cancer. The Laws of Medicine, Field Notes from an Uncertain Science. To W.K. and E.W., among the first to cross. In the sum of the parts, there are only the parts. The world must be measured by I. Wallace Stevens. Life is a continuing rhythmic movement of the pulse, of the gait, even of the cells. Friedrich Nietzsche. Prelude. The elementary particles of organisms. Elementary, he said. It is one of those instances where the reasoner can produce an effect which seems remarkable to his neighbor, because the latter has missed the one little point which is the basis of the deduction. Sherlock Holmes to Dr. Watson. In Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, The Crooked Man. The conversation took place over dinner in October 1837. Dusk had lightly fallen, and the city's gas lamps had lit up the central streets of Berlin. Only scattered memories of the evening survive. No notes were taken, and no scientific correspondence ensued. What remains is the story of two friends, lab mates, discussing experiments over a casual meal, and the exchange of one crucial idea. One of the two diners, Matthias Schleiden, was a botanist. He had a prominent, disfiguring scar across his forehead, the remnant blemish of a prior suicide attempt. The other, Theodor Schwann, a zoologist, had sideburns that descended to his jowls. Both worked under Johannes Müller, the eminent physiologist at the University of Berlin. Schleiden, a lawyer turned botanist, had been studying the structure and development of plant tissues. He had been hay-gathering, Husum Melae, as he called it, and collected hundreds of specimens from the plant kingdom. Tulips, dog hobble, spruce, grasses, orchids, sage, linanthus, peas, and dozens of kinds of lilies. His collection was prized among botanists. That evening, Schwann and Schleiden were discussing phytogenesis, the origin and development of plants. And what Schleiden told Schwann was this: in looking through all his plant specimens, he had found a unity in their construction and organization. During the development of plant tissues, leaves, roots, cotyledons, a subcellular structure called the nucleus became prominently visible. Schleiden did not know the function of the nucleus, but recognized its distinctive form. But perhaps more surprisingly, there was a deep uniformity in the construction of the tissues. Each part of the plant was built, bricolage-like, out of autonomous, independent units, cells. Each cell leads a double life, Schleiden would write a year later. An entirely independent one, belonging to its own development alone, and an incidental one insofar as it has become part of a plant. A life within a life. An independent living being. A unit that forms a part of the whole. A living building block contained within the larger living being. Schwann's ears pricked up. He, too, had noted the prominence of the nucleus, but in the cells of a developing animal, a tadpole. And he, too, had noted the uniformity in the microscopic construction of animal tissues. The unity that Schleiden had observed in plant cells was, perhaps, a deeper unity that ran through life. An inchoate but radical thought. One that would swerve the history of biology and medicine, began to form in his mind. Perhaps that very evening, or soon after, he invited Schleiden, or dragged him possibly, to the lab at the anatomical theatre, where Schwann kept his specimens. Schleiden looked through the scope. The developing animal's microscopic structure, including the prominently visible nucleus, Schleiden confirmed, looked almost identical to that of the plants. Animals and plants, as seemingly different as living organisms could be. Yet, as both Schwann and Schleiden had noticed, the similarity of their tissues under the microscope was uncanny. Schwann's hunch had been right. That evening in Berlin, he would later recall, the two friends had converged on a universal and essential scientific truth. Both animals and plants had a common means of formation through cells. In 1838, Schleiden collected his observations in an expansive paper entitled Contributions to Our Knowledge of Phytogenesis. A year later, Schwann followed Schleiden's work on plants with his tome on animal cells. Microscopical researches into the accordance in the structure and growth of animals and plants. Both plants and animals, Schwann posited, were similarly organized, each an aggregate of fully individualized, independent beings. In two seminal works, published about 12 months apart, the living world converged to a single, sharp point. Schleiden and Schwann weren't the first to see cells, or to realize that cells were the fundamental units of living organisms. The acuity of their insight was in the proposition that a deep unity of organization and function ran through living beings. A bond of union connects the different branches of life, Schwann wrote. Schleiden left Berlin for a position at the University of Jena in late 1838, and in 1839, Schwann left too for a position at the Catholic University in Leuven, Belgium. Despite their dispersal out of Mueller's lab, they kept up a lively correspondence and friendship. Their seminal work on the foundations of cell theory is indubitably traced back to Berlin, where they had been intimate colleagues, collaborators, and friends. They had found, in Schwann's words, the elementary particles of organisms. This book is the story of the cell. It is a chronicle of the discovery that all organisms, including humans, are made of these elementary particles. It's a story of how cooperative, organized accumulations of these autonomous living units, tissues, organs, and organ systems, enable profound forms of physiology, immunity, reproduction, sentience, cognition, repair, and rejuvenation. Conversely, it is the story of what happens when cells become dysfunctional, tipping our bodies from cellular physiology into cellular pathology. The malfunctioning of cells precipitating the malfunctioning of the body. And finally, it is a story about how our deepening understanding of cellular physiology and pathology has sparked a revolution in biology and medicine, leading to the birth of transformational medicines and of human beings transformed by these medicines. Between 2017 and 2021, I wrote three articles for the New Yorker magazine. The first was about cellular medicine and its future. In particular, about the invention of T-cells re-engineered to attack cancers. The second concerned a new vision of cancer centered on the idea of the ecology of cells. Not cancer cells in isolation, but cancer in situ, and why specific locations in the body seem so much more hospitable to malignant growth than other organs do. The third, written in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, was about how viruses behave in our cells and bodies, and how that behavior might help us understand the physiological devastation caused by some viruses in humans. I wondered about the thematic links among these three pieces. At the center of all...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?